We would like to acknowledge that the land on which CITR operates and broadcast, and where many of you are listening to the program from, is the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territory of the Musqueam people.
Hello and welcome to That Song from That Movie. I'm Movie Maverick Mike.
And I'm Logan the Extra. We're coming at you from 101.9 FM CITR Radio. Today we're going to be talking about Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, and more specifically, Black Sheep by Metric.
Scott Pilgrim vs. the World is a visual race through the graphic novel of the same name, about a forlorn, sardonic, 20-something Torontonian bass player, as he discovers that his love for his new crush, Ramona, entails video game fights against her evil exes. And notice we didn't say evil ex-boyfriends. Key part of the movie. To win her heart, defeat the third act boss villain, and learn something about himself along the way.
But if there's really nothing, are you looking for ways to be a part of the community through low-stakes opportunities like volunteering? What about making friends that are really cool or have some common interests? Well, I'm here to tell you that at CITR, you can come volunteer at Volunteer Wednesdays, happening every other Wednesday from 12 to 3 with a really fun activity each time, like making signs or button making. Not only is it a great break from outside stress, but a great opportunity to be a part of the community. For more information, you can visit CITR's Instagram page at CITR and Discorder.
You're listening to Movie Maverick Mike and Logan the Extra on CITR 101.9 UBC Vancouver. So this movie, so right off the bat, what did you think of this movie, Logan?
You know, it's a weird movie. It's got a lot of different things going with it, and I really like it. This is one of my favorite movies, maybe of all time.
Really? I didn't even know that. So that's interesting, yeah, because of the action, the dancing, the characterization?
Yeah, it's a really stylistic film. That's what I've heard a lot of people say when talking about Edgar Wright, the director. And it's really true for this film. It's wacky and it's weird, but I think it got to me at the right time when I was a young man. And, I don't know, just has a special place in my heart.
Because you're so old now, yeah, I get it.
Yeah, exactly.
Now that you're old and jaded, it wouldn't resonate. No, so for me, I really enjoyed this movie. I'll tell you my story. I was dragged to this movie by some friends of mine in Calgary at the time. And they were like, let's go see this. Like, I don't know about Edgar Wright, John Cena. How do you say his last name?
John Cena.
No.
What? I was going to say, he's not in this game. In
no.
This movie. Michael Cera.
Michael Cera. Oh, you know, they're probably brothers. And, and the whole video game tinge to it. But I ended up really enjoying it. It's a unique movie. And I will say one thing there. It was a minor hit. It wasn't a massive hit. It was kind of a unique movie. It's one of those movies that you watch and you think, could they still have made it today, or how did it get into theaters? And part of that was, I remember Guillermo del Toro had a special premiere of showing on some anniversary or something like that for the movie in Southern California, because he felt this movie wasn't getting enough attention. And they said that at the start of the movie, he introduced it, my buddy director Edgar Wright, he made this great movie. And for those of you who don't think there isn't any great movies out there, you should watch this movie, Scott Pilgrim vs. the World.
Well, it's certainly got a bit of a cult following, and it's not hard to see why. I mean, it's a bizarre movie, so it doesn't lend to everyone's tastes. And like you said, it's not as popular as some of the other blockbusters. But if it resonates with you, and if you're someone who likes video games and comics and music, then it can really hit the spot, I think.
Yeah, so I'll jump off of that, too. It definitely tries to become like the comic in terms of the visuals. Toronto in this is always snowy. Some of the way the camera, the framing is done. And then quirky, and then musical. So, I mean, I don't think you could call this movie a musical, but music is a big part of it. Is that fair to say?
Thinking about this movie, it makes me think about how you define a musical. Because on one end, there's some movies, I believe Les Miserables is like this, where you're singing almost every line. And then there's also movies like Disney movies, which are, wouldn't you consider something like Frozen a musical?
Oh, for sure, yeah, for sure.
And then you have to think, what's the difference between this and Frozen? I mean, there's a lot of songs. They don't really drive the plot along in this movie.
No, I think so.
But
I think
they
so. I mean,
kind of do.
We'll come to that in a second. I mean, it's not, to me, the music is important to this movie because, number one, he's a bass player and he plays in a band.
A lot of the plot is based around the fact that he's in a band and he has to compete against other bands as well.
Yeah, Sex Bomb.
Sex Bomb.
Yeah. Ironic. At least it was back in, when was it, 2010 when it first came out? No, it wasn't that long ago.
It was 2010, yes.
Oh, wow. Okay, wow. So that was a while ago. And, you know, there's musical cues. It doesn't give a lot away to say there's a bass battle between our hero and one of his rivals. And there's music sprinkled throughout the movie. That's kind of limiting to say it like that. But
yeah.
So before we get to that song, was there any songs you want to highlight or any musical moments you want to highlight in this movie?
There's a lot of songs that are really fun in this movie. Starting at the Clash at Demon Head, there's a song
Context. Oh, Demon Head is a club?
Yeah, it's this club where they play their first, I guess, I don't know if it's supposed to be their first thing as a band, but yeah, it's a battle of the bands, and the main conflict is that Scott, the main character, he's got his old young girlfriend, does that make sense?
Yeah.
This high schooler that he's dating, she's there, and also this new person that he's crushing on, Ramona Flowers, the manic pixie dream girl of this movie.
Totally.
So he's playing to impress them, but again, there's conflict because there's both of them there. But initially, we hear a different band, Crash and the Boys, I believe they're called, two songs, and one of them is just a 2-second song, but the other one's like kind of a significant song. So it sets up the movie. This is the first time there's anyone playing music. No, there's the opening credits. But after that, the first time people playing music in the movie. And so it kind of introduces us to how this movie's going to be. And then we get to hear, actually, Scott Pilgrim and his band play.
Well, and then I remember there was one part of the movie where he's trying to avoid some awkward situation, Scott Pilgrim, and he says, we have to play now really hard, really fast, or something like that. I remember.
Yeah, he sees his two girls talking to each other, and he grabs someone and he says, we need to play really loud right now, or something like that.
That's right, yeah. And there's parts around the band and how tenuous they are and how good or bad they are. There's that one part where the lead singer or the guitarist is saying, Scott Pilgrim, what about the band? The band. What about the band? Over and over again. And it's just, you know, I remember I watched that part and I thought, I wonder how many times that these underground, you know, garage bands have had that conversation. Hey, man, what about the band? You got to do this for the band, you know?
This is kind of one of the themes going on in the movie is that it's kind of about these three people trying to start a band and, you know, do we get serious and how much do we commit to this? And yeah, Scott's commitment kind of wavers and is supposed to serve his other life, but he's also a bit scarred for music because of yet another ex who's played by Brie Larson. I don't remember the character's name.
So let's talk about that. So when you're talking about Scott Pilgrim versus the World, one of the reasons why we chose this movie is because of this song.
This is that song from that movie. We are from 101.9 CITR FM in Vancouver.
So that song, now I've already forgotten the name of it, Black Sheep by the great Canadian band Metric. So again, we don't want to spend too much time setting the stage visually, because you can always watch the movie. But for me, I've watched this clip over. This is like the best rock band intro ever. It's in the middle of a movie, and Edgar Wright, as we'll talk about in future movies, it seems like he's really keyed into a song bringing about a moment, a character moment in the movie. So from a plot perspective, this is Scott and his would-be girlfriend, Ramona, watching the band play. What's the name of the band? You know that? We don't know the name, but look it up. But I'm sure it's terribly memorable, but we're just having a moment. And Envy Adams, his ex-girlfriend, Envy Adams, played by Brie Larson. Here's the picture. She's this cool blonde singer wearing long heels. And as the scene rolls out, there's a bit of bass playing, which, of course, resonates with Scott. The lyrics for the song, Black Sheep by Metric, include a little "oh yeah," and you know we're not gonna hurt you by singing it, and then we see the drummer twirling their stick, and there's dark lights and shadows, and then they says, "Toronto, put your hands together for this band," and we see her stilettos sort of from the knee down walk out, and then the spotlight flashes on her when she starts singing, and the song, for those of you who know the song Black Sheep by Metric, it's not hard to imagine this being a great moment in their concerts. Canadian band Metric playing this song, and the way they present it is, I'm like, that's the way every rock concert should start out, like that, right?
Definitely. I mean, this scene could substitute for like a music video for the song. It's really strong, it's really impactful. But the other thing is, it's not only is it a good song on its own, but it's really significant for the movie, because the whole movie is about exes. And so this is Scott Pilgrim's ex playing and singing, played by Brie Larson. And then you talked about the bass coming in. In the movie, Scott Pilgrim is a bass player. He plays the bass guitar. And Envy Adams' new boyfriend is also a bass player. So it kind of has the conflict there of immediately we hear his replacement, as it were.
Yeah, there's a lot of quick cuts in the scene, and like we've been alluding to, the songs aren't generally played all the way through in the movie. They're just snippets of them. You know, again, something we tend to focus on in that song, in that movie. And I want to say one more thing about that, too, is that as a big Metric fan, I believe that one of the most underrated bands in Canada, and I'm sure they will remain that way for various reasons. That song, I'm sure Edgar Wright picked it out specifically for that moment, how it illustrated the characters, how it fit into the plot. That song wasn't released. Brie Larson sang it on the soundtrack?
Or in the somewhere? Movie, yeah.
Yeah, in the movie. But on the soundtrack was the Emily Haynes, the lead singer of Metric. She was singing because, again, you know, this is their song. And I remember Edgar Wright, there was demand, well, we want to hear the Brie Larson version. We don't want to just 20 seconds. We want to hear the full version. And Edgar Wright came out and said, okay, number one, I only have the rights to her, to the Metric, the band's version of the song, the band. But secondly, is that he said, it's her song. Why shouldn't she want to sing it? You know, I mean, she didn't write this for Brie Larson, for Envy Adams, for Scott Pilgrim. She wrote it as part of her album. And so it took a while before I think the Brie Larson version did eventually come out.
So was this a song before it was in Scott Pilgrim? I actually don't know.
Yes, and that's a good question, because that goes back to the Metric being underrated. And Metric was one of those bands, somebody even sings a song about listening to Metric in the car, some pop Canadian song, about they've always been hit big enough that you, if as a Canadian radio listener, you would know their songs even if it's sort of the back of your mind, and this was one of them.
Yeah, and having Brie Larson perform it is kind of surprising. I don't know if she sings much of anything else that I know of.
Did you think she's a good singer? Did it sound good?
No, that's the surprising thing. She's a really good singer. And, you know, if you're if you know a lot about Metric, maybe you'd be able to pick her out, that it's not them singing. But when I listened to it, I couldn't have told you it was her singing, which is kudos to her.
What? And again, it depends on your view. I think one thing that I've discovered from talking to people about this is that if you're a fan of Brie Larson, you want to hear Brie Larson sing. Go figure. Mm-hmm. If you're a fan of Metric, you want to hear the Metric song that happens to be in a movie that Brie Larson and Michael Cera are in, right?
Yeah, and actually a lot of people are singing and performing in this movie. They taught a lot of the cast, like Michael Cera, to actually perform their songs. Mm. And I believe some of their performances made it into the soundtrack as well. And all the other songs in the movie are original to the movie, so that feels a bit more natural. You're not stepping on anyone's toes by having Michael Cera sing the harmonies in the Threshold.
But, so does that mean that the other... So I'm assuming that he learned how to play the bass to be more realistic in that role, right?
Yeah, and a lot of the band... I'm sorry, I don't remember the names for the actors.
Yeah, Alison Pill,
she was the drummer.
Right.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I don't know what you describe her character, but so she learned to drum to some degree, I'm assuming.
I'm pretty sure, yeah. Which makes, I think, a lot of this movie sound unique, is that you're not just plugging in music and it's not, you know, someone somewhere playing it. I mean, I guess they're still in the studio somewhere, someone playing it, but these are actually the actors, and, you know, that really helps when watching them play instruments, that they're not just, you know, playing air guitar while there's a happens to be a guitar in their hands kind of thing.
Yeah, and that's a good point, too, but there's different types of music in here. There's, I think, some house music. One of the first songs is that sort of has a Bollywood tinge to it, if I remember right.
Yeah, I don't know how well we've explained the plot of this movie, but it is pretty integral to say that one of the big parts of this movie is that Scott Pilgrim has to fight off the seven evil exes that from Ramona Flowers' past. And a lot of them have a song associated with them, including the first evil ex, who, yeah, it's a bit more of a, Bollywood
feel. Yeah, it seems to take the context of the situation they're at, a battle of the bands at the movie set when he fights Chris Evans. Yes, thank you. Chris Evans and... a club, a nightclub in a couple different places. So I want to mention, too, that following this song, then Brandon Roth, who plays the bass player for Envy Adams, the ex of Ramona Flowers, he was known for playing Superman. He's got this blonde, he also is a blonde dyed hair.
Yeah. I don't think he has blonde hair. I think he has, like, silvery hair.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that's right, yeah. And he has a bass battle, which for me, again, we won't go deep into it, but that the whole section from when we introduce Envy Adams till they talk afterwards, till they have a fantastic bass battle, I'm laughing just about thinking about it.
Yeah, and this is also one of the reasons, it's a bit complicated to explain it, but one of the other reasons that song is so important is because, like, that bass player is the second evil ex, so the second person Scott has to fight. So you talked about there's a lot of quick cuts between the faces. Like everyone has a relationship with everyone else in that, like a direct relationship, not just because they know someone. You know, Scott Pilgrim has a direct relationship with all three of them, and I guess so does the bass player. So it's
intertwined.
Yeah, and it's all a lot of important characters coming together for that song, which again is why it works so well within the plot of the movie.
So do you think that that song is highly representative of this movie? Like, can you think of Scott Pilgrim versus the World, or can anyone without thinking about Black Sheep by Metric?
Well, it's a bit hard because there's so much going on in Scott Pilgrim. You know, to me, the one thing that lacks is a fight. And a big part of this movie is the fights, kind of video game or comic book-esque, and this isn't one of them. But I think if you've watched a movie, this is definitely one of the standout songs that you take away from it.
Yeah, the setting, the location, the build-up, and the aftermath, for sure, yeah. And it helps to have a great song. Like, as we talk about that song from that movie, you know, we're going to try and focus on songs that resonate and are compelling and well-crafted, and to me... To be frank, that song by Metric is all three.
Yeah, it's a great song. I mean, you just listen to it, so you can have your own opinion on it. But yeah, it's something that I've listened to outside of the context of the movie. And, you know, I'm a bit of a fan of Metric, so I probably would have listened to this even if it wasn't in the movie, which is a testament to how good it is.
So I want to talk a little bit about the word cult classic is thrown around a lot. I want to talk about that in a second, but first I want to talk about, you know, both Logan and I agree this is a great movie, worth watching, a certain frame of mind, certain humor that you have to have in order to enjoy it.
Yeah, it's, you have to be ready for anything that comes about. I mean, this song is when the movie, it's just kind of started to get in its swing. But at the start, it seems like this drama, and then it's like a musical, and then it's like a fighting movie, and it kind of, and it's like a video game movie, and it
I would call it a comedy. I mean, I laughed.
It's a comedy throughout, but there's a lot going on.
There's more to it than that, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you love being caffeinated? And do you hate that greedy, soulless international conglomerates are succeeding in the cutthroat world of coffee? Sounds like local coffee roasters Trek Coffee is for you. Trek Coffee is 100% indigenous and military veteran owned and operated. Let's keep small businesses thriving. Stop by Sunshine Convenience on 4th, the Super Value on Commercial, or grocery checkout in the Nest to pick up some Trek Coffee today.
I'm Movie Maverick Mike, and with me is Logan the Extra, and you're listening to CITR 101.9. So, Logan, you wanted to talk a little bit more about, can we call it a comic book, or do we have to use the word graphic novel? What do you want to say there?
Well, I'll use the word comic book. This movie is based on a comic book. It ran from 2004 to 2010, I believe. And I've never read it, but this movie almost made me. But you can feel the comic book influence on the movie. Sometimes there'll be text floating in the air. There's a lot of really stylized fighting, and in fights they'll kind of freeze a frame or almost freeze a frame and add little emphasis. And I think that's part of the charm of the movie, is that these fights aren't necessarily the quick-cutting kind of Marvel or standard blockbuster action movie fights, but they do try and make it feel a bit more comic-y, and it's really enjoyable.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that's right. I can imagine looking through this graphic novel. Like, when we have the fight scenes in the movie, they have the words printed on there, like, whoosh, mm-hmm.
And thwack and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, you know, kind of as
old guys like me remember from the Batman TV series.
So, I mean, that's slightly comical, I'd say, to put the words up there.
Yeah, it kind of adds to the don't take it too seriously aspect of the movie, but I'd say it even accentuates the fights. And it does make sense that they have such a focus on fighting, because there's also a Scott Pilgrim video game that also released in 2010 with the movie. So evidently it was, I think it went along with the movie. It wasn't like the movie inspired the game. The comics had inspired them both. But evidently the fighting was pretty key.
So I can imagine, as much as you're reading any graphic novel, if you're a producer or a filmmaker, film producer, you're thinking, you know, what can I do to turn this into the movie? So having the fights on the page, making them cinematic and, you know, obviously animated would be an appeal. And then I'm assuming, because we haven't read the graphic novel, there's parts where in the movie he's going dub, 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 dub for the bass. So then you can say, okay, well, I can make that real going forward, right?
Yeah, that's a good point. Even some of the music had little words for it. And which is important, because some of the music was also during fights. So sometimes he was punching people and fighting like that. But other times it would be a band versus band battle.
So that ties back into making it feel like a comic. If you have the words in the comic, the sound effects in the comic, the graphic novel, and then you keep those words on screen, it's funny, cute,
it's
honoring the comic.
Yeah, it's charming, it's stylistic, and it's something that really sets this movie apart from other movies, I think.
So one part I want to talk about from there, too, is this has had 9 lives. So it started out as the graphic novel written by a Canadian artist.
Mm-hmm.
It became a movie. I know that I meant to say earlier, there was rumors that the studio was like, does it have to be set in Toronto? Can it be in New York? New York is snowy, too, wouldn't they? And then a video game. That it became.
And now, actually, the timing is good because it's on the verge of becoming a Netflix series. So,
again, assuming it still has a following.
That cult following. Netflix is premiering Scott Pilgrim Takes Off November 17th as a limited series.
And what was surprising to me, I don't know if you heard this, but almost all of the voice cast is the people from the movie.
Really?
Chris Evans, Brie Larson, Michael, the guy's
Michael
name.
Sarah.
Yeah, thank you. Aubrey Plaza.
Yeah, there's actually quite a cast on this. I don't think we've mentioned as much yet. Mary Elizabeth Winstead is Ramona Flowers.
Thank you. Yeah.
Anna Kendrick is in there. She doesn't actually do any of the singing, which I find a bit ironic.
I'm not sure if she's in the new Netflix series, but
Alison Pill, who's now a star from, I think, Game of Thrones, is it? Or she's been doing some other stuff too. Yeah, you're right. It's actually the cast is, we all know about Chris Evans, but the cast has actually gone on to great things. So I do think it's a testament to the movie that these characters are like, we want to come back and revisit these characters, even if we're just doing the voice for them.
Mm-hmm. And an anime totally fits the style. I mean, we were talking about how it's like a comic, and anime kind of has some things lending to that, where it's got a lot of stylization, a lot of fights. You know, there's a lot of room for writing words on screen or dramatic expressions and stuff like that.
Yeah, and we'll have to see if they incorporate songs into the anime going forward in the spirit of the movie.
Yeah, maybe we'll have to talk about one if they do.
For the best in funk, soul, surf, and more music, tune in to Jack Velvet's Suburban Jungle Show. Wednesday mornings from 8 to 10 at CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. Add us on Twitter at Jack Velvet Radio, Jack Velvet's Suburban Jungle Show. Also available, streaming and podcast at jackvelvet.net.
You've been listening to that song from that movie on CITR 101.9 FM.
I'm Movie Maverick Mike, and you can find me on Facebook and Instagram.
I'm Logan the Extra, and you can find a recording of this show on CITR.ca. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you later.